Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with another team of our whistleblowers who are bringing you the truth about the lies, deceptions, and all of the assaults on our way of life, your freedom, and your life. For such a time as this, we are here to bring you truth, hope, and solutions. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, for medical help, legal help, and all of the other resources. Join us in our Faith Over Fear seminars each Tuesday night via Zoom at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every week. And now, here is your host for today.
Welcome, everybody. This is Major Mike Gary, and this is another Whistleblower Report, and this is going to be a faith segment here. Got kind of an interesting show today. We're going to be talking about the signs, wonders, and miracles that are going on currently, especially in our skies. And right now is 16 May of 2024. We just got done having this big solar flare event, which had created aurora borealis, which made the skies extremely interesting. So we're going to relate this all to the season, the religious season that we're in, and we're going to play it to what most of the Christians or the calendar that most Christians in America are following, which is the Gregorian calendar, and not necessarily the Julian one that the Greek Orthodox follow. Although I certainly don't overlook the way they represent these religious holidays and festivals and feasts. They're certainly important too, but it's just so many signs landing on what the majority of Christians are following for a calendar this year. So we will be talking about that. And of course, even though I am still one toe in the military, I am here on my own free accord. I'm not representing them in any way. So just to relieve myself from that. And I want to thank the donors out there. We have appreciated your donations to make this whole foundation work. We have a small crew working it. We are bringing federal false claims lawsuits against anybody that violated, medical protocols or forced people into death protocols, as we say. So this is our current project. And of course, over the 3 years, we have supported many with legal grants. This is where your money's going. It pays for some of us that are working for this foundation. Again, we're only a handful of people, but you have to have some workers in order to bring forth lawsuits and legal grants and handle these things that we're doing. And of course, our whistleblower reports are quite unique because we're pulling people at the grassroots level that actually stood up against the tyranny that is so prevalent now since the fake pandemic or plandemic, as we've said so many times before. So we do need more donations to operate. And I know I'm asking at a time where The Bidenomics is really taking a toll on people's households and their wallets. So I understand that. But we are no different than any other church out there. We operate under a 501c3, just like your common churches do. So they're just a normal charity like us. So maybe that's something to consider because we are putting forth a mighty effort in a spiritual way. What for what we believe is how the Lord Jesus Christ would have us act at this moment. So just that's just something to consider. And as always, please check out everything that's on our website, from our whistleblower reports, our Faith Over Fear programs, our legal symposiums, and our treatment guides. I think our radiation treatment guide has just been updated. This is a ionizing radiation treatment guide. And of course, we have a our truth for health store for nutraceuticals and supplements. And certainly inside that radiation treatment guide, it gives you a whole bunch of our supplements that can help with any type of ionizing radiation damage, which most of the time will cover non-ionizing as well. So that's something to check out. That's a new release hot off the press for us. Now, recently, as most of you know, I was a military guy, a CBRN, chem, bio, rad, nuclear weapons expert, as it relates to hazmat response. That's the side I was on, not in the lab side of it, but I certainly would be on the response side, which would have people, my teams would go into a lab and diagnose the lab, rip it apart. Not physically rip it apart, but mentally figure out what the lab is, whether it's a chemical, biological, lab. And certainly then we get down to what specific weapon is it, you know, whether it's anthrax, plague, on the bio side. And then is it a mustard agent or nerve agent or just simply phosgene gas? So that's the type of mental processes that I was trained to do. And of course, from my side, where I was the deputy commander, I was very senior at doing this, diagnosing and figuring out. I didn't go down in the suits too often. I am trained to the same level that the survey guys would be for that. So I just wanted to let you guys, I bring that all up because I did an event for the Truth for Health Foundation, a tabling event here in Maine, and it was a pro-life event. And I haven't really cycled out in the community too much, where I was so destroyed reputationally by the military. So it's been hard, to kind of get your reputation back. So what's interesting, this is all going to a good place. I just had to build this up. And for others out there that want to do things and say things that have kind of been holding their tongue. So this tabling event was done at a pro-life event my daughter set up. And you've got a mixture of Christians. Now, a lot of these Christians that I had been around, let's say a year and a half ago, didn't want to hear about the shot anymore or the fetal cells or any of that stuff. They wanted to get back to normal. So that was a very difficult time. This is towards the end of 2022 into 2023. You know, that just didn't want to have it anymore, didn't care about people that were fired anymore. So it was a cold shoulder from people who were supposed to care. And that's how it was here in the central Maine area. That's how I experienced it. And my wife did as well with me standing up. My wife, I just want to say, was solid with me standing up. She's been my biggest supporter. I don't think I would have made it through this without my wife. So I want to say that. Well, at this event, it became very clear that things have changed. There is an awakening that has happened. And unfortunately, it's through all this death and destruction and many, many funerals, right? On the ground level, it's funerals and turbo cancers. And I was able, as a biological weapons hazmat responder, able to call the thing at this event the way I wanted to, a bioweapon. So naturally, if I'm going to represent the Truth for Health Foundation and the nutraceuticals and supplements and the books that Dr. Lee has written and talk about the COVID vaccine injury treatment guides, right? This is all the things that our foundation has to offer. Naturally, the vaccine is going to come up, or the fake vaccine. So I just started calling it a bioweapon, and I want to let you know how good that feels to finally speak the truth and not be ashamed or hide it or whisper it. I just let it go. I called it what it is, the bioweapon. And I repeated this from everybody that came over to our table to see what the Truth for Health was about. And it was so liberating. So I'm going to go forward now and call it what it is. It's a biological, technical weapon that they created and pushed on the American people, and then for that matter, the world. And so therefore, that's why I gave my disclaimer at the front of it. Now, the time we are in. On April 8th of 2024, we had this massive event in the sky, the total solar eclipse that crossed the country. And it affected most of the country in some way, at least got dim in probably most of your areas. But the interesting thing was there was one in 2017. And we did a whistleblower on the 2024 April 8th solar eclipse. Dr. Lee and I did that. Back right before, like a month and a half ago, we did that. It was called the 2024 Eclipse Crossing America, a Sign of Jonah. So you can go listen to that whistleblower report where I get very detailed on all the specific things that came out of that event. I'm just going to hit a couple interesting things here just to remind everybody, but certainly the other whistleblower report has so many things. Again, looking at that event, a lot of people were calling it the sign of Jonah, which I'll come back to. But if you remember that event, it entered the United States at Eagles Pass, Texas, which has been the big problem for all the illegal invaders that have entered our country. So it's interesting that that was exactly in the totality path where it entered the United States. And then not far from there, Kerrville, Texas. There's a big cross, like 100 foot tall. It's just a border or the outside of the cross. It's not filled in. So that was not far. There was a Jonah, Texas. Obviously, everybody knows there was the seven Ninevehs in the United States that this would cross over, two in the path of totality, and then an eighth one in Canada, signifying a new beginning. And then, of course, April 8th, 4/8. If you go to Exodus 4:8, it said, if they don't, I'm paraphrasing here, if they don't believe the first sign would have been received as the 2017 eclipse, total eclipse across the country, then perhaps they'll believe the second sign. And I paraphrase that really bad. So go check out Exodus 4:8 and see that. And that hit me hard because, yes, a lot of people were tracking the 2017. But it was orders of magnitude how many people participated or attempted to participate in this one that ha just occurred. So naturally, the sign of Jonah was well talked about when this one happened. And of course, the crossing area was an area known as Little Egypt, reminding America we are a type of Israel escaping bondage when we left the British Empire. It was all this symbology. And the thing you boil it down to is you realize that America's roots are really biblical. Our foundation is in the Bible. And then, of course, one detail people weren't tracking so much is the shot was fielded directly in the middle, 1,211 days from the 2017 eclipse to the day the shot was first put in somebody's arm, which was 14 December of 2020. And then another 1,211 days to April 8 was 1,211 days. So the shot first went into somebody's arm right in the middle of all this. I find that incredibly fascinating. Seems how I made a stance against that. So, Now, that's all the interesting facts, and there's way more in the whistleblower report I did with Dr. Lee. So go look at that. It'll be linked below so you can check that out. So I think I've come across enough points there to make this to draw everybody in to the importance of that sign, that April 8th sign in the sky, and now it's the sign of Jonah. Okay. So why would we call this the sign of Jonah, right? Why would we say that this is representing the sign of Jonah or the book of Jonah in the Bible? Well, because Matthew 16:4 says this. Christ is talking with the Pharisees and they're challenging him. They're going verbally, volleying back and forth on, who's right and who's wrong when it comes to the biblical text at that time, right? So Christ says to them, on Matthew 16:4, he says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Okay, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Okay, so what is that sign? What does that mean? We discussed this pretty heavily in the previous whistleblower report, but essentially it boils down to the sign of Jonah is death, burial, resurrection, judgment, or repentance. That's how it's supposed to be received in the New Testament, New Covenant. Okay, so Nineveh, then when we go into the book of Jonah, we discover all these things. The death burial of Jonah at sea, because he was a prophet that was not following the Lord. He did not do as God instructed. So, he realized that he had put the ship's crew at risk because God was angry and brought up the storm, and he realized he had to deliver himself to the sea to save that crew. And in that, those men, the crew on that ship, were saved, by the way, because of what they saw and experienced. And then, of course, the fish would take Jonah in, he'd be swallowed, he would have a death, he'd be buried at sea. And then he would resurrect, and in it, I truly believe he died and came back. And he resurrected, was vomited out exactly where he needed to be to make his way to Nineveh. And he was reluctant because he didn't like those people. They were dangerous people. And perhaps he didn't want God's saving grace to be upon them. Okay, so there's all these things. We go into it in detail in the previous one, but nonetheless, he delivers the message after being divinely corrected. So when he gets there, unlike any place else in the Bible, they repent. And it's amazing. So we have seen so many signs in the skies over the last decade. If I'm just going to draw everybody's attention back to the four blood moons that started in 2014 and 2015, they landed on actual Passover, Jewish Passover dates in 2014 and 2015, and also in the Feast of Tabernacles, which was in October of 2014 and 2015. And then also Israel experienced a total solar eclipse themselves. So these are important signs in the sky. Later, after that, we would have a Trump presidency. He would come in, and then there would be the 2017 solar eclipse in August, and I'm missing the exact date at the moment. I'll come back to that. But shortly after that, there was a sign in the stars. And on 23 September of 2017, the Revelation sign, Revelation 12, 1 and 2, where it says, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth." That sign showed up on 23 September of 2017. All the stars and planets aligned above Virgo's head, the actual sign in the sky, and then the moon was under her feet, and Leo the lion was above her with the lineup of the crown. And of course the lion often represents the king. And so that's something to check out. If you missed it in its time, that is something you need to go back and look at. And so anyway, all these signs happen, and then kind of the completion in a way is this 20 April 8th of 2024 solar eclipse. And to me, how I received it, I didn't receive it as judgment. I feel like our country has been under a lot of judgment, and I'm done being judged. I think like judgment starts in the house of the Lord, and then it moves out from there, right? So I feel like this has already occurred in my life, and I'm tired of operating under that oppression, and I want to operate in the spirit. So I feel like the veil on the April 8th eclipse was removed, just like the veil was torn from the top to the bottom on the day Christ was crucified, right? So I feel like this is the moment for truth, which brings us to the season we're in right now. 31 March of 2024 was Easter, or the way I like to reference it, Resurrection Day for us, which would be on Passover Day, even though, again, we're not using the same calendars that the Jews are, but that would represent that day in history back then. And then, of course, 50 days later is the day of Pentecost, which is, the festival of weeks, which was the celebration of the wheat harvest. Okay. And so 50 days is what Pentecost means, 50 days after Passover. And then amongst that is also the first fruits, which Christ was resurrected on first fruits. So these are all incredibly important things. That season when it actually happened, but every year for us, as we celebrate these things, we should think back on what these actually mean. And as our country, we find our country in total turmoil. We should look back for these things for motivation, encouragement, and then obviously operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is what Pentecost is all about. And that's what this show is trying to draw, is it's time to operate in the Spirit. When Christ, when the Father poured out the Holy Spirit on the disciples who would become the apostles, they would operate in his power, okay? They would do miraculous things, and we can still do those things now. They are still happening, these things. Just because Paul could go and heal people in the spirit, well, Paul couldn't heal himself, right? So there's this the supernatural world and then the natural world. And sometimes God's answer is no on certain things, right? Just like Paul couldn't heal himself, okay? And you find this repeated, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't attempt to operate in God's power and spirit. And 40 days after that eclipse, the April 8th eclipse, we find ourselves at Pentecost, 19th of May. Okay. And so this is significant. Again, draws us to 40 days. And what does 40 days mean? 40 days is generally symbolizes a period of testing, trial, or probation, right? And then there's a pivot and change. And we find in The Gospel on the Ground, a Bible study by Christy McClelland, she says this: we often see the number 40 in the Bible. The flood lasted for 40 days. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 days, or excuse me, 40 years. Goliath taunted the Israelites in the Elah Valley for 40 days before David knocked his block off and chopped Goliath's head off with his own sword. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days between his baptism and his emergence as a rabbi of Galilee. And here at the beginning of Acts, we see 40 once again. When you see 40 in the Bible, look for change. Something's about to pivot in the story. It's an incredible beginning to the book of Acts. And I think, we need to keep that in mind, because the Acts of the Apostles, right? The book of Acts, in its short form, could not be without this day of Pentecost, all right? The pouring out of God's Spirit. And so I just think this is so noteworthy for us to remember and have to remind ourselves, especially in this time where we're seeing all these evil things going on. It's so oppressive in so many ways, but we need to let go of that. And we need to operate in God's Spirit if we're believers. in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then certainly if you're not, you need to be open to this idea, because I know it's been tugging at your heart. So listen to these things. In Acts 2, 1 through 4, it says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. And this is how we should be. We should operate in that fire that God has poured out, because that hasn't been revoked. It hasn't been taken back. We need to operate that way and not forget that we are still under that right now. Okay, we're going to take a break. We thank you for listening to the opening half of this program. And when we get back, we're going to go move from the day of Pentecost into some specific stories of Acts that I hopefully will, you know, read out to you, and you might find them extremely useful. I have found the book of Acts extremely useful during these last couple of years, because I think there's so many similar situations that the Bible gives its wisdom in so many scriptures, and I have found it in the book of Acts. Okay, we will be back right after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
This message is from the Truth for Health Foundation. Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Sigloff, a family medicine physician and a major in the U.S. Army. The following are only my opinions. Service members are being coerced to participate in medical experimentation, with over 7,500 service members being discharged for refusing to participate, many of them losing their retirement and medical benefits. There are allegations that the DoD is committing medical fraud, violating the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and violating constitutional rights of service members. Strong men and women stand ready to defend so that you can sleep peacefully through the night. Now we must stand watch over the military so they can sleep peacefully through the night. Please get involved to help protect the military. This message brought to you by the Truth for Health Foundation. For more information, please visit truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org.
Welcome back to the second half of our show. I'm Major Mike Gary, giving you another whistleblower report. And this is a faith segment where we're discussing the spiritual season we are in, talking about the power of Pentecost and the signs, wonders in the sky. I failed to mention on the first half of the Christ was with the disciples roughly 40 days before he made his ascension to heaven. And roughly on our calendar this year, 40 would be the time of the solar flare, which would put it around the May 10th timeframe. And I'm just going to reflect on my observations of that day. I became aware on May 10th That there was a solar flare phenomenon. I heard something about it the day before, but again, with all the fear mongering there has been, I was like, oh, this is just another thing. But I read on social media somewhere that if you had still had your solar glasses, you could look at the sun and see a black spot. And sure enough, in between the clouds, the cloud cover I had, and when there was totally no cloud cover, I put my glasses on. And there was a little black dot to the south part or the bottom part of the sun. And it was there all day. My family members observed it too. So it wasn't just me. It highly interesting. You could see that flare spot with the naked eye through solar glasses on May 10. And I'm sure you could some of the other days, but that's the only day I attempted to observe it. And then, of course, that night was the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, like, unbelievable. I've never seen that. And again, that would be roughly on the calendar to marry it up with the times and seasons. It would be about the day that Christ ascended. And I'm telling you, when I hope everybody got to see these, but I know cloud cover was an issue, and then certainly light pollution would be an issue to see these in their majesty. But I live out of town and not a lot of light pollution. And man, did these colors, these purple, violets, wine, pink, greens, they just filled the sky 360, a complete 360. And then it was incredible. It was like a outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's really what it looked like. You could look straight up and it looked like there was this big light blotch in the sky, like it reminded me of like a see-through umbrella if you were looking at rain hitting it, like the spot where the rain would actually hit the see-through spot, and then from it would just pour down all these rays 360 through the sky, you know, purples, pinks, and greens all around. But that blotch would move and change. It was also kind of like you were in a snow globe, but looking up, and then of course these rays of color coming down. It was totally awesome event. I think in a way it was more awesome than the solar eclipse, even though the eclipse, when you got to see the fire ring in the sky and then the diamond, as they call it, of the ring appear and look at that with your naked eye. These are unbelievable once in a lifetime events, and even a lot of people won't ever see them in a lifetime. Unbelievable. They've happened during this season of Pentecost, from you know, the crucifixion, Passover day, through to Pentecost. And I think that's again highlighting that this is an important time. We are placed exactly where God wants us in space and time, and we have to do what matters in this time, right? Okay. So I'm glad I didn't fail to mention that. Now, we were talking about the day of Pentecost before, where you could find that in Acts chapter 2 and the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read this from gotquestions.org, and it's about what does the Holy Spirit do? Okay, it says, first, the Holy Spirit does many things in the lives of believers. He is the believer's helper, found in John 14, 26. He indwells in believers and seals them until the day of redemption. This indicates that the Holy Spirit's presence in the believer is irreversible. He guards and guarantees the salvation of the ones he indwells. That's Ephesians 1, verse 13, and 4, verses 30. The Holy Spirit assists believers in prayer, Jude 1, verse 20. He intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That can be found in Romans 8, 26 through 27. The Holy Spirit regenerates and renews the believer. That's in Titus 3, verse 5. At the moment of salvation, the Spirit baptizes the believer into the body of Christ. That's found in Romans 6, verse 3. Believers receive the new birth by the power of the Spirit. That's John 3, verses 5 through 8. The Spirit comforts believers with fellowship and joy as they go through a hostile world. That's 1 Thessalonians 1 through 6, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 6, and then 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The Spirit in his mighty power fills believers with all joy and peace as they trust the Lord, causing believers to overflow with hope. That's found in Romans 15, verse 13. Sanctification is another work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The Spirit sets himself against the desires of the flesh and leads the believer into righteousness. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. The works of the flesh become less evident, and the fruit of the Spirit becomes more evident. That's in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 26. Believers are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, verses 18, which means they are to yield themselves to the Spirit's full control. The Holy Spirit is also a gift giver. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. That's in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4. The spiritual gifts that believers possess are given by the Holy Spirit as he determines in his wisdom. That's found in verse 11 of that same scripture. The Holy Spirit also does work among unbelievers. Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That's found in John 16, verse 8. And the Spirit testifies of Christ. That's in John 15. Verse 26, pointing people to the Lord. Currently, the Holy Spirit is also restraining sin, combating the secret power of lawlessness in this world. This action keeps the rise of the Antichrist at bay, which is found in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 through 10. And so this is where I say that the Holy Spirit is the great preserver, he pushing back. And that we find that is how we need to be, right? We need to be the ones that are preserving this earth while we're here. And while we're here, we might as well be doing that. And that's what I feel about it. You know, the Holy Spirit is a guide, preserver, comforter, indweller, sanctifier, and everything else I read. So we need to be operating in the Spirit as believers as we see more and more crazy things going on that don't make natural sense in the natural way. And that's what we need to be doing there. After Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, towards the end of that chapter, he says this. This is Acts 2, 17, verses 17 through 21. He repeats what the prophet Joel said in the Old Testament. He says this, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I just felt that this passage is so fitting for right now, where we've seen so many signs. Again, some of these signs we've seen have been called out right here in this passage. So I tend to hold to the idea that we are getting closer to the second return of Christ, as was in his first coming. The evil demonic activity got to a fever pitch. There was a lot of it, and that's why Christ was casting out demons, and there was some work to do after he ascended. But as we get closer and closer to his second coming, and again, I don't know how to define or say exactly where that is, because I don't believe any of us know, right? But we know we are getting closer. I think we can all be in one accord on that fact, that we are seeing an uptick in evil activity, in spiritual evil activity. And we're seeing demonic possessions here in America. That is a prevalent thing now that has changed over the last 10 years, I would say, you know, increasingly so. And again, that's, I just put my time on it. That's when I started to recognize it, maybe 15 years ago, demonic indwelling in people. And it's a prevalent now. You see it in all the urban areas and cities so much. I wanted to tell a little story, go back to the event I mentioned in the first half where I was doing a tabling event for the Truth for Health Foundation. And I discovered I could call it what it is, a bioweapon. So it was just unashamed truth of the reality of what it is in a time where Echo Health Alliance has just lost its grants with the government. That we telling the truth has led to a period point where the evil company Echo Health Alliance has lost its grant funding to do this evil gain of function, genetic modification. And, you know, a lot of the material in their processes they love to work in is aborted fetal tissue. Okay. So, which relates to all this evil activity. If you're going to destroy a human life and then take it to repurpose it for your self will, your selfishness or selfish ideas and money, right? Because this is what's gone on here. This is why it was such a big stand for so many Christians. That, you know, we need to call it out in truth. Well, they lost their funding from the federal government. Uh-oh. Now the federal government's going to have to start admitting more and more and more. We're in a morale or a motivation shift in the game. The morale is getting higher on the Great Awakening side, and the Great Reset side is starting to make these admissions at a rapid rate now. Also, around this time, a week and a half ago, AstraZeneca admitted, they had to admit that they cause blood clots. They say rare. We all know it's not rare. We call it out now. It's not rare. So many people are clotting up, right? So many people have had heart issues. So many people have turbo cancers. Well, AstraZeneca is finally off the world market. Next is Pfizer and Moderna. You guys are coming down as well. I rebuke you. I rebuke you, and I declare Pfizer and Moderna, you will be coming down, and that is God's will. Okay? So I just find it interesting that in this moment, the season we're in, outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, we need to operate in the Spirit. And then bringing it back to the event I did, there was this one of my first people that came to my Truth for Health table was this little old lady. And, you know, I'm saying old, but she looked to be in her 70s, right? She looked very good for her age and everything. And I was going through the spiel kind of for the first time. She was either the first or second person I spoke with. And then I looked at her and I called a bioweapon. And she just shook her head and agreed. And this was a new thing for me. Especially somebody of, you know, baby boomer or older generation who are so trusting of big pharma and the government. I was received in all truth. And it was awesome. And then she looked at me after I had essentially gone through my justification on everything the Truth for Health does, which was everything I was doing. You know, prior to I meeting up with the Truth for Health, I was like a mini Truth for Health out there operating, you know, until I found Dr. Lee. But this woman looked at me and she said, "You remain steadfast, steadfast." She's like, and then she explained who she was. She was part of the first group in Maine that pushed for homeschooling, fought against all legalities back in the early 80s, brought all the constitutional rights forward, and they lost in the Maine State Supreme Court. However, through that loss, there was actually a victory. And I can't explain all these mechanisms. I got to go back and research this. But she said, "Since then, have you ever had a problem with homeschool?" And of course, I homeschool all my children. No. She looked at me and said, "Remain steadfast." That was awesome hearing that from. And again, I didn't know who I was talking to, but she was part of the first group that fought for homeschool, early 80s. So she was way ahead of it. When we go to the book of Acts, there's a couple spots that I would like to share. They mean quite a bit. And of course, there's so much in the book of Acts to reflect on, like Damascus Road for Saul, who would become Paul, right? This great miracle of an event would happen, and he would lay his eyes on Christ and then have scales on his eyes and need to be helped out. But it was 14 years from that moment before Paul would actually set out on his ministry to spread the gospel across the world, okay? So sometimes there's waiting involved, and it makes sense because Paul had come from, the Sanhedrin. He was of the order of the Jews that controlled all religion, right? So he'd have to relearn everything. It makes sense, a waiting period or a learning period. He would have to go be with the normal people and learn the normal way of doing things with all this religiosity out of it. So just keep that in mind, even though it feels like some of us have waited. For me, I've been in a waiting, on holding pattern on things. So let's remember that, but we still got to operate in the spirit. One place in Acts that really hit me recently was Acts 15 verses 36 through 41. And I'm just going to paraphrase this here. This is where Paul and Barnabas are up in Syria spreading the gospel, and they've planted a number of churches at this time all around Asia Minor, right? And all of a sudden, Barnabas wants to bring in John Mark. John Mark is Mark, the Gospel of Mark. He is the writer of that. Well, when they did these original church plants, John Mark, for some reason, bailed on him. Whether he had a prejudice against the Gentiles or whether he just didn't want to put the work in to do this rigorous gospel spreading, he bailed on him the first time. Barnabas wanted to go back, get him, and bring him back to these churches that were planted to ensure that, you know, doctrine is being followed. And Paul would have none of it. Paul did not trust. There was a deep distrust for John Mark. And there was so much of a divisiveness here, or that Barnabas and Paul would divide and go their separate ways. So it's interesting. And perhaps, you know, that is the best outcome at that point. If you can't agree, perhaps it is best to separate. And I think we've seen a lot of that over the last 3 years with these mandates. There's a lot of separation in the house of God, in the church, and things. So, you know, if we're in the time of the sign of Jonah and repentance is the thing, perhaps some need to repent. You know, I have been searching my own life and for things that I may have done that I need to repent of. And I've been earnestly and honestly trying to do that in this time period. So this is something to consider. And certainly, if you're a Christian that is participating in the destruction of this nation, I think you're on the wrong side of history. Whether that means you were for the mandates or you're for the illegal invaders or for some of these other crazy things, transgenderism, transgender drugs, and all these things, I think you need to analyze yourself. If you're truly in Christ and a saved believer, you need to repent of these things, okay? And not many people will say that to you, but I will. Even though I may disagree, I still care for people. And, you know, sometimes caring is correcting. Okay. So anyway, that was an interesting story, which I think is very fitting for our time after I just went through that spiel, right? Another one is towards in Acts 16. In Acts 16, Paul, he's part, you know, split ways with Barnabas, and he's with Silas now, and he's gone to, where is it? Philippi, okay? And he's been arrested and thrown in prison, right? And this is with a Philippian jailer where they're in prison, and there's a big earthquake, and it opens the, you know, the prison cell doors, and this jailer has decided that he's going to take his own life because all the prisoners got out. That was an assumption he made, but right before he was about to do that, so he failed at his job, Paul calls out to him from in within his cell, and he says, no, I am still here. We're still here, him and Silas. And So he talks him out of it. In verse, so this Acts 16, verses 35 through 40, I am going to read this. It says this, "And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officer saying, 'Let those men go.' So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace.' But Paul said to them, 'They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out.'" They had done the wrong thing. They had beat Roman citizens, broke their own laws and rules, right? These matter. So Paul holds them to the letter of the law. I pick it up in verse 38 here. It says, "And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid." They should be. "And when they heard that they were Romans, then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went on out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia." Okay. So Paul holds the Roman magistrates to the letter of the law. That was the important thing there. And again, that's the efforts with the Truth for Health Foundation and efforts I've done are holding people to the letter of the law. You can't force people to take poisons, okay? You can't do that. Murder is always murder. Harming is always harming, right? And of course, I'm referencing the illegal mandates, unlawful mandates, right? And we just got to be persistent widows. That's another story in the Bible about these things. We need to hold people to account on these things. Now, you're going to find many, many stories in the book of Acts, all due to the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit and Pentecost. And let's operate in this power. And now towards the end of the book of Acts, which is Acts chapter 27, is an interesting story where it's called the shipwreck story of Paul. And Paul is in probably his most compromised position. Again, a prisoner that he's been taken in by, I think it's Julius the centurion, if I got the name right, it could be wrong. But he's the captor of the centurion. He gets along with the centurion. He's with a few other prisoners, and they are going to ride the Mediterranean in the wrong time of year. Now, Paul has been around Asia quite a bit. He's traveled by ship quite a bit, right? So he knows the weather patterns. He knows even some things about actually operating a ship because he's done it so many times. He's been shipwrecked two other times before. So he has a considerable experience, right? In Acts 17, verses 21 towards 38, I'm going to read this. We find Paul at a very weak state in society, a prisoner. And because he operates in the Spirit, something he comes to the full authority of God. He operates in God's authority, which is operating in the Spirit. And this is an amazing story. It kind of is a testimony to everything that I'm trying to convey today in signs, wonders, and miracles. This in itself is a version of a miracle, being a prisoner and then being the almighty power position on the ship through God's authority. So listen up. Verse 21, "But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me.'" So he's a prisoner, but now he's in amongst them, right? And he's taking control. "And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.' Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they found soundings again, found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for a day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, doing the opposite of what Paul said, okay, so they're seeking to escape from the ship. When they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors for the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers put away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall down. So he told the centurion, and then the centurion took over the ship, right? But only by way of Paul. And what Paul, he accepted Paul's guidance and essentially Paul's authority. Verse 33 picks it up here and says, "And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat." He essentially took communion amongst all of these guys. This is a pretty astounding situation that's unfolding. Everybody's captivated. There's fear running rampant. And in the midst of it, Paul takes communion. It's unbelievable. And I pick it up. "And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And all we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea." And then, of course, they come on land. They crash on the rocks. The ship is split apart. But every last one of them, because they followed the authority of God, which was Paul at that moment, they all lived. Isn't that an awesome story? Okay, well, that wraps up operating in the power of God's Holy Spirit, the importance of Pentecost in today's world. I thank you, everybody. We thank the donors and sign up to give our donations, as your donations are help our nation's finest fight for our rights. You can go to www.truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. Join our crusade. We are silent no more. Sign up for our email alerts. Check out our resources, our COVID injury treatment guides, our radiation injury treatment guide, and our faith over fear programs that we have, our seminars, our legal symposiums, our health food store, our nutraceuticals and supplements. We got so much to offer as a foundation. And it's pretty amazing how far we've come and how many people we've helped with legal grants and pushing back against this Goliath of our day. And we also provide medical advice and ministry help and constitutional right information. So go to our website. Check those things out. We thank you so much. Hopefully you enjoy this program. Spread the good news. Spread the gospel. This is Major Mike Gary signing off.